want to pray, and then I want to give you guys an update on my on the week and where we're at and what things we know, but I want to start with prayer. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for this day, a day where I choose, Lord, to rejoice and be glad in you. I choose to commit my thoughts to you. I choose to lay down my life. I choose to endeavor to hear you in the midst of the things that I get to walk out in. So, Father, I know that everybody here in this house does the same. We're believing, God, to hear your voice. We're believing to get direction. We're believing that where we lack wisdom, that you'll give it liberally, Father, and you'll pour out the blessings along the way. So we thank you for that. I ask you, Holy Spirit, now to come to dwell in this place. I ask you to come and to in the midst of us move, so that we might have understanding, so that we might know and hear your voice, that we might turn to you and return to you, Father, and that we might have new grace placed upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I gave the announcement about us having to move and about all of that, and you know, I was, as I put it on Tuesday, when Pastor asked me, he said, how's your week been? I said, well, Sunday I was full of faith believing God, and by Monday morning I was the most double-minded person in everything about it. I was just, and that's not to think that it's special. I think, you know, the funny thing about it is when you anytime you launch out in faith believing God, that's like a big red flag for the enemy. Right, and the enemy's desire at that point is to steal faith. And how's he steal faith? He starts to cause you to question it, to doubt. Like maybe I made a bigger declaration than I should have. Right, maybe I'm believing a little too far. Right, believing that what God couldn't find us a better place, you know. And then, so I had this thing, and that's why when you go to see the board, I felt like that we should, you know, one of our council members, Marilyn Lambert, said, you should do a vision board. And I'm like, I'm not sure I even know how to do a vision board. You know, and Pastor had told Diane and I last Sunday, he goes, now's the time to dream. And I went, oh, man, I'm not a very good dreamer, you know. And so I'm just being honest. I don't naturally dream for the future, you know, and that's probably because over my life I've been trying to manage expectations in places as opposed to trusting God in outcomes. But with that, so I thought, well, I'm not sure I know how to do that, but I'm willing to try. Right, I also have that great place that it says that young men see visions, right? And what do old men see? Dreams. So I started realizing that's either one of two things. I'm either still young and God's going to give me a vision, or I'm old and God will help me to dream. Right? So I figured either way I was okay. You know, but I had to at the place start to say, no, I'm going to, oh my God, I want to dream bigger. I want to think bigger of you, you know. So Monday was that battle. Monday was my double-minded in all your ways, which when you're double-minded, we know Scripture says, James says that when you're double-minded, don't expect to receive anything from God, right? And so, in that place, and if you don't know, that's all James chapter 1, right? It starts off in our faith with everybody's favorite scripture, to count it all joy when you come into various trials, right? The King James calls it divers temptations. And I said, praise God. I used to say when I was a young believer, praise God, I'm not a diver. You know, I'm not going to have any of that, you know. But it's not that. It means various tests, you know. And that word test is to prove the proof, right? So, you know, when you have gold, if you go out in your backyard this afternoon and you're digging in the garden and you pull out a big rock and it looks like it's gold, right? You'd have to take that someplace and have it tested. Right? You'd have to have it tested to verify that it's gold. Right? And that's my prayer for everybody this afternoon, that you go home and find a big gold nugget in your backyard. Why not? Why not? I mean, right? Carol's going to get one, right? And I like this one because this is where I get to be like, Pastor, I don't have to have any of it to give away, but that would be that's what God can do, right? But that has to be tested to verify. That's what this word means, that trial. It means to test. It means to prove, to verify it. Right? So what is James saying? That what has to be tested in us, right? And for you, for the longest time, I just always thought that testing was a testing of me, right? My abilities, right? To pass the test, right? We all had that in elementary school, junior high, high school. We had to pass the test. Right, but that's not this kind of test, because it's not the testing of Brian. It says it's the testing of your faith. Right? See, the testing comes because of your faith, and it's not to test you in it. It's to test your faith. Right? Are you willing to hold on? Right? Are you willing to hold on to that word, to that belief, in the midst of testing? And then it goes on and it says, verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work. And we all know that we all love patience, right? We all know that, and the reason patience is there is so that the test can happen. Because if in the immediacy of receiving the word or hearing the promise, God granted the promise, we wouldn't need faith. Right? And you need faith that endures, right? Joyfully endures, right? You need joy. Is patience. Is that place. You get to enjoy, you get to have patience, you get to wait, still believing, but you have to be joyful, not miserable. If you're miserable or if you're complaining, then you're not patient. You're not believing. And again, that's okay. I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about my Monday. Okay, I'm talking about me. So, you know, I just kind of sat. It took me a while to realize that I even though I made the declaration and I believe what God's saying and that he is going to bring us into a new place and it's going to come with us being praising him, right? Not warring, right? And even with all the events of this week, I feel like that we're still not to war. We're not to war. We're to hold a place of praise in it and let God be glorified and let God stand up in a minute, in the moment. So after I started realizing that I was just in doubt and that meant when I just came to the conclusion, said, you know, you're just doubting. You're no longer believing that God's big enough, right? So I started going, okay, well, if I'm in doubt, right, then what do I need to do to get out of doubt? Anybody? Pray, yeah, you can pray. Praise, right? Worship, right? Make him big. Stop looking at what you're looking at, right? And that's what I was like. It's like, too, you know what? The reason I'm doubting and I'm not trusting God is because I'm looking at my circumstances. I'm not looking at the one who changes circumstances, right? Which in all those, in praise, in worship, in prayer, all of those cause me to stop looking at the natural. Causes us to stop looking at it. So that's what I did. And I also know that we know because I've, and I know you know it because I've said it probably every week that I've been up here for the past 4 to 6 weeks and said it even before that, is that we know that today if we hear his voice, yeah. right, yeah. And we not harden our heart, what's hardening our heart? It's doubt. Yeah. It's doubt that hardens your heart.
Yeah.
Right? A believing heart is a soft heart. It's a trusting heart. But an unbelieving heart, it says in Hebrews, is doubting. Right? So I know if I'm doubting, I'm in rebellion against God. Yeah. Right? Do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. Now, we all think of that as 40 years in the wilderness. But it can be 40 minutes, you know, yeah. on the freeway, yeah. you know, and you can lose all your faith, all your trust in God, yeah. and come into a place of doubting, right? Which God calls as rebellion. Why? Because when I'm not listening, when I'm not believing that he's able, then I'm standing against him in his word, right? So I just came to the conclusion, and I love the part at the end. It says that, you know, verse 7, for let this man, Brian, suppose that he'll receive anything from God. He's double-minded in all his ways, and he's unstable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So unstable is just that picture of that wavering. It's being pushed back and forth. It's between two. It's also that it's that word double-souled. It's to have two souls,
yeah.
right? And that's that word suke. It's to be stuck in your soul, to have, and then it's wor. It's this is like to me is like the worst place to be because it's bad enough to be soulish, right, and only be thinking about yourself, but to have two souls and be confused in the midst of it, right? That's even worse, right? Because you just it's. So I'm just here. I'm in the building. Thankfully, nobody else is here when I'm here early in the morning. It's quiet. And I'm processing my double-mindedness before the Lord. And the scripture that comes to me, I know the address, but I'm going to make sure I get the verse right, is Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says, your light, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in a dark place. So I'm hearing that and I'm like, God, wow, that's your word. It's not it is this word, but it's what you're saying to me right now is your word. That's when the lamp comes on. And we all know that, like, in this room is well lit. I don't need a lamp in here, right? When do I need a lamp? When it's dark, right? You go out to take the trash out. There's no light back there. You need a lamp to light your path, right? But, and I love flashlights. I'm kind of a geek on flashlights. I probably have 6 or 7. Every time I find a new one, I like it because I like the newer ones versus my old ones is they light a bigger, broader, further path than my old one, right?
Yeah.
Which is what a light is for.
Yeah.
It's to light your path, your next step, right? In the darkness. So when I heard that, I knew what God was asking me to do. He's saying, if my word is a lamp unto your feet, in the darkness or your double-mindedness, right? Then he said he wanted me to bring back his word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I had to go back and find out what he's been saying in the midst of the place that brought me to where I was at. So it was, that for me was very easy because I just went back and opened up my journal and looked at the things that he'd been saying. You know, and so I said, well, God, what of all the scripture? Because see, how do I say this and not sound? this is all important. Everything in here is light and life. But what he speaks to you, right, that has a different value, right? Right? Because the Pharisees thought that just understanding and knowing the scripture would bring them into eternal life. But they were unwilling. Jesus said, you're unwilling to come to me. You're unwilling to submit to me, Jesus said, in the word, with the word. Right? So I know that I can't just go and say, oh, let me just grab scripture and dig into it. And yes, if you do, when you do, that will bring light, because he's so gracious, he's so kind, that even in a feeble effort, he'll talk to us. And maybe that's not for you, but he does me, right? He talks to me even when I'm unstable in all my ways, when I turn and come back to him. Remember, 3 weeks ago, August 24th, I think it was, I stood up here and I said that in returning and rest, right? In returning and rest, you'll find confidence and strength, right? And then I remember that part. It's in my notes here. It says, but you would not, right? So that's not my confession, the but you would not. It's just the opposite. I've turned it around and I tell myself, no, you will return and rest. Soul, every single time you come into a place of finding yourself in doubt and unbelief and fear and trauma and loss and that is that no, you're going to return and find rest in him, right? Because we know that when we turn to him, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, is that when I turn to him, the veil is taken away. The veil is removed from that point, right? So I'm way ahead of myself. So I went back to my notes, and I just going through my notes, and I said, Lord, I want you to talk to me from where you've already talked to me about where I need to, what things I need to be returning to you with. And I don't remember the scripture, but there's a place where you return and you give, you use your voice, right? Yeah. And that is that you have to be able to just bringing it, you know, just carrying it with you is one thing, but it has to be your voice. You have to be saying it. So I know that, Lord, what are you saying to me right now that I can say back to you? To bring me, to take me out of my place of doubt and fear and bring me back into your faith. Because once I'm back into faith, then I can receive from you what you're saying in that. Yeah. So he led me to my note, in my notes for August 8th was Psalm 121:8. And it says, the Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forward and forevermore. Right? So the Lord's going to preserve us. Right, and our going out and our coming in. So that's I was using that scripture on that day on our coming in here, leaving there and coming in here. I didn't know that God was saying, I'm going to preserve you from this day forward and forevermore. In all your going outs, in all your coming ins. Right? It's not just the one, but it's all the going outs and coming ins. Right? And then he said, Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So I'm just kind of mulling on that, listening to it. And I'm walking around that room, around the little table in there, and I'm just saying both those scriptures. Father, I thank you that I want to give you praise that you're preserving us in our going out and our coming in. And you're preserving me in my going out and coming in. And I thank you that you said in Deuteronomy 28 that we're blessed when we're going in and coming out. Yeah. Not just coming in, but in going out. Yeah. And that's in all our going in and coming out. Right? And so I just started to rehearse the things that he had said. Right? And then so after a little bit those scriptures kind of waned in my discussion, my conversation, prayer with him, my fellowship. And so I looked down and that there was in my next set of notes from the 10th, August 10th, was Romans 8:14. And that just kind of stood off. And it said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Right? And so God just was, so I just started saying, "God, I thank you. You're leading us." It may seem like someone's displacing us, causing us to go, right? But I'm not going to look at what is temporary, right? 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, there's temporary and then there's eternal. And if I look at the temporary, guess what I get? Temporary relief. But if I look at the eternal, I get eternal relief. I get substance. So I knew that, okay, this, however this thing came about, whoever the person who complained, I started blessing the person who took our cause to the city. I started blessing the city. I started, this place just rose up in me that said, no. And I think it was Diana who said it, or I can't remember who it was, but somebody made the comment about that we're bigger. We may be small in numbers, but we're big in Jesus. Yeah. Right? And so I started saying, wow, if we're really big, right, then we need to kind of act big. We need to act like who we are, not acting like, oh, this person, somebody complained, now we have to leave and... You know, which is what, that's what my soul wants to do. My soul would love to just sit down with a big old pizza and just sit and have a pity party, you know, and then have ice cream after it. Right? Right? Cool it off. Right? But so I started saying, no, we're bigger than that, Jesus. You used us for 37 years in one building and let us have great influence in that neighborhood. Though probably nobody knew who we are, we had an effect on everything around us. So why wouldn't we come to this little building and have an effect in the spirit realm that caused the enemy to go, oh, let's see if we can distract them a little bit. Let's see if we can get them off cause, right? And start looking at that. So I started blessing everything. I started blessing that every neighbor. There's a list in that room that Allie made of all the tenants in this building. I started blessing all the tenants. Why? Because it's the scripture says that when what are we to do when someone curses us? Or does someone's despitefully using you? Pray for them. Right? If someone says, hey, you know, come with me for a mile, or compels you to come with them, that means they basically say, hey, guess what? I just volunteered you to come with me. Right? Yeah. What are you to do? You're supposed to go too. You know, years ago, I had a friend of mine say, that's rubber meets the road Christianity. That's where you get to test what you believe in Jesus, right? When someone speaks evil against you, someone curses you, someone compels you to do something that you don't want to do, right? What do you do with it? You know, I'll tell you what I want to do with it. I want to go back and get that sword and go full William Wallace on him, you know? Take on City Hall. That's what my soul wants to do. Right? That's honestly, I'm telling you about me. I don't know what your week looked like, but this is me. And so I'm thinking, man, you know what I'd love to do? You know, but then I'm like, hey, but that's not Jesus. What you want to do is not Jesus. Never mind, is it not good scripture? You know, you got to twist a lot of scripture to go in your favor to get there. You can, you know, But we all know we're stretching it to get there. So I'm just like, okay, but I'm a son. The scripture says I'm a son if I'm led by the Spirit. So then I'm having to go, okay, Father, I thank you that no one's displacing us. It might seem that way, right? But we're being led.
Yeah.
We're being led. I'm going to choose to believe that you're leading us into in a place of inheritance more than I want to believe that someone has enough power to force us out if that's not what you want, that's what you're doing. Right? So I'm like, no, we're being led, right? And then I came, then I was looking down my notes and it says, 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but you, O'Brien, you have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That is the excellency of the power of God may be of God, not of you. So we're not going out, we're not being displaced, we're being led, and we're being led by the Spirit, with the Spirit, with the power of God functioning and moving in us.
Yep.
No one's forcing us to leave. We will go willingly, led by the Spirit of God, to our new location.
Yep.
We won't whimper and cry and moan, though we have done all that. Right? Sat in here one day after I came back from vacation, and I sat in here right about here, and I just had a good cry with God and said, I like this place. I was just getting comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, okay. But he goes, you can stay. He goes, but I'm leaving. And I went, well, I'm smart enough to know that I don't want to stay if he's not staying.
Exactly.
Right? I don't want to sit around with an angel and try to get into the promised land and get everything God has but not have him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I'm not willing to make a trade for it. So I just started going, no, we have the power. We have a treasure inside of us, which is why, and this is what I believe, which is why I believe there was a complaint against us was because someone didn't like the treasure that's in an earthen vessel that we brought here into it, right? No one's mad because Jubilee showed up, right? And I don't think it's just, again, my opinion. I don't know. I don't care if it's a person or who it was. I said, it's a spirit, right? And so they might feel like there's a victory in it, but as long as we're here, I don't care if we're here 3 more weeks or 5 more weeks or 10 weeks, whatever it comes out to be until we get a new place and we move, right? We're leaving a deposit, right? The weightiness of God is going to be here, and it's having an effect. It's having an effect on every tenant, on every neighbor around here. Every neighbor is going to get, there's going to be change. Because you can't invite the glory of God into the neighborhood or have it show up and then not have it have an effect. Right? So, and then I'm reading this scripture and it comes to this one, Isaiah 30:15, which we talked about on the 24th, which is, in returning in rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence you shall have strength. But you would not. And I've already, said that. I'm changing my confession on that scripture. And I add to the bottom, it says, but you would. But you would. Right? Our returning. So in that moment, when I got there, again, I just went back to God and said, God, I'm sorry for my unbelief. Please forgive my unbelief. Please forgive me for being so short-sighted that I let the natural, the things of this earth, push out the promises of God and cause me to be in such unbelief that I was just couldn't even see you in it. Right? That's returning. That's returning. That's coming back to him and saying, wait a minute, I know who I am, and I know the strength that I have, but I know that I know you. And I know you. And in that, he says, you get salvation, right? To be saved is to be open wide or free, to be rescued and into a place of victory. Okay? And rest is to settle down. Just settle down. It's like we'd say to our kids or our grandkids, just settle down. It's not that big a deal. That's what I hear God saying to me. Settle down. Don't get all excited. First of all, what are you going to produce? Right? Settle down. Quiet. To repose. I didn't know what repose was. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know what repose is. I had to go look it up. It's to relax. It's to recline. It's to take it easy. Right? To be idle. To be still. And I said, oh, God, I know what you mean by still. You want me to cease from my labor, cease from my thoughts, right? To rest from that. And it says, and to be quiet. In other words, quiet down your soul. Rest my soul. It's okay. God's got this. Yeah. And in confidence, trust. Right? I can't come to that word confidence and read that word trust and not think of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, it's my understanding that draws me out of my trust in Him. Right? And that's one of those battlefields right there. Is where am I going to lean? In the midst of, there's always going to be another test. There's always going to be another test. You know, you're all supposed to say amen. Thank you. Right, there is. And yeah, we're to count it all joy. We're supposed to lean into joy in the middle of testing so that we can have our faith tested in it, right? But it's the places is where are you going to lean? Are you going to trust in God, or are you going to lean on your understanding? So for me, when I get to that, I go, okay, God, I'm sorry. The reason I feel this way is because I'm trusting or I'm leaning on my understanding. And if I'll get out of my understanding and get back into trust, I'll be fine. Yep. Here comes Arch. Everybody in the room say, hey, look at Arch. Right? And what do we get from that? We get strength. So I'm in there and I'm saying, God, I want to exchange my strength, what little strength I have. And what my strength is fleshly and carnal. And it's not going to produce anything. You know, as much as I think or wish I could believe that I am a warrior and some great hero, right? In my imagination would believe, oh yes, if you could do this, you could go slay. Nah, you can't do anything apart from Jesus. I can do nothing. Even if TV says I can, if Netflix is, producing something that makes you feel good for a little while, it can't produce any of that, right? But so it's coming back to that. There's the strength that comes from God is that champion. It is the hero. It's the warrior. It's the valiant, right? So I'm just kind of settling in on that, and I'm just walking around that room, wearing the carpet out, and I'm just telling God, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I forgot that you're my strength. And my strength, that strength's not going to come from standing up against the bully or to fight City Hall. It's going to come in pressing into you and finding rest and returning into a place of trust. In wholly trusting Him, you know? Because again, I don't know about you. I can be there and immediately come out of there or get a text from someone saying, hey, I saw this great building. You know, check it out. Or get a call from a commercial real estate agent who tells me all the obstacles that are against us, right? And I can go from rest, quiet, and confidence, returned, and get pulled right back into the natural and into doubt, you know? So though Monday got settled and I came back in by Tuesday morning, I had to again return. You know, return. By Wednesday morning, I woke up Wednesday morning with praise on my lips. And I went, okay, there we go. That's a good lift, you know. Diane and I went and looked at a couple buildings on Wednesday. So I started off my day full and strong in the praise, believing God, reading the scripture, feeling confident. Went out and looked at a couple buildings and went, Right? So I was like, nah, that's... And I'll tell you, the first building we looked at was off of Eastman and Oxnard. Okay, everybody breathe. I didn't say we're going to Oxnard. Right? But we walked into the building and Diane and I had barely crossed the threshold into the building and we're like, it's got one office and a big warehouse. Not even a big warehouse. The warehouse wasn't much bigger than this room. Right? But we walked in and we went, nope, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. He told the guy, thank you. Got back in the truck and moved along. Went and looked at a place in Ventura. No, please, we're not moving. Pastor, I'm not going to. I love you.
Yeah, right.
I've told you many a times I'll follow you.
Yeah.
But I'm not following you to Ventura. Yeah. Lest God opens a door and it's God who moves us. Okay? And I'll be clear. I am not looking anywhere. I'm looking at everything and judging it by what God's saying. Okay? So we went and looked at this one. The reason we looked at those two buildings in those two cities was because the same owner, the owner that owns this building, owned those buildings. And he said, hey, you might want to take a look. Maybe something. He goes, I'd love to work with you. I want to work with you. Well, of course you do. No, and I'm serious. I'm now starting to change what I, after part of a week and listening to real estate agents and stuff like that and hearing all this stuff, I started changing it. You know, someone is going to come along who wants us as a tent, wants us there. Whether they're going to give it to us or they're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to give this to you way below everybody else. I really want you here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Why should we be out there thinking that I mean, we carry,
yeah,
this house carries 40 plus years,
yeah,
of walking in the Spirit,
yeah,
being known by God.
Yeah.
Every one of you here carry the substance of that. So I'm starting to change it. I'm going, no. If we walk in and the person's like, oh, I don't know, I'm like, then that's like a big telltale to me. It's like, no, you're probably not the right person.
Right. Yeah.
I think God's able to grant us favor far beyond,
yeah,
human understanding,
yes,
with somebody.
Yes, yes.
Right? Even to the point you'll be in when you read the stuff on the board that, you know, God could give us something. This Rosie wants her kitchen back.
Yeah.
Rosie wants, yeah, we do, as a matter of fact. And I just started saying, God, no, you're so much bigger than I'm giving you any credit for. I'm walking out going into these places thinking that well, I don't know if we could afford it. I started thinking, we can't afford it. We can't afford it in the natural. But what does that change?
Yeah.
Right? Because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills,
yeah,
right? Guy who paves the road with gold.
Yeah.
somehow has a problem with coming up with a little extra each month? No. See, I'm just having to change the way I think. Right? So I started saying, and so by about the end of the week, by about Thursday afternoon, Thursday I had jury duty. Anything can steal your faith. It's a couple hours at the courthouse. No, nothing personal, Mitch. I love you and that, but it's, man, that place is, I don't know if there's an open heaven at the jury duty room. I think that's about as, so I'll be honest. I went in there and I was not thinking of like, I was like, man, I'm going to bring my notes. I got my Bible. I got all my stuff. I got no traction for the first hour plus. I was like, man, I felt just the weight of, I think it might be that room with no air. I think they're sucking the air out of the room, you know. So long story short, I left thankfully, they let us out at 11:30 without having to come back. So I only had to put in half a day, which that was a gift from God. So I went and had some lunch, and then I was leaving the place I was having lunch, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go back to the office yet. I want to go someplace where I can pray. Because I'm already in Ventura, so I'm no one's expecting me. I'm not expected to be home, and I'm not expected to be at the office, so I want to use this time to go take a walk and be with you. So I jokingly told Veda, I said, I went to the cemetery. I says, because the one thing about a cemetery is you can have every and all emotion you want at a cemetery, and no one's going to question you. Right? You need to have a good cry with God. No one's going to bother you at the cemetery. You want to jump up and down and spin around? People at the cemetery are going to go, I'm not bothering them. You know? So I went and took a walk at the cemetery and just prayed. I was just talking with the Lord. Just a real nice, quiet time. Except for the guys mowing the lawn. You know? But what my takeaway from it was, let me just flip my notes over. I got to finish because we're close. Oh, it's not in this one. Was Hebrews 5 says, verse 9, if you bring it up, it says, though he was a son, this is Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Right? So God's already told me, you're a son. Take your sonship. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Right? No one's displacing you. You're being led. Right? You're believing God in all this. So I just started going, God, it says, you have a purpose for us in this. And that purpose is that we... Is that, and again, I'm saying we because you're all here, but what I mean is me. Yeah. I'm having this walk through the cemetery and praying with God, and I'm like, I know that the reason we're going through all of this, the reason I'm going through it, is so that I get to learn how to obey you. And that word obedience is not like the kind of obedience that I tell my grandson, come here and come here, right? This obedience is to come under the word, right? Jesus learned to submit to the Father in the testing by believing that his Father's was good and trusting and knowing that. So there was that, it's the word hupakaio, it's to come under the word. So I'm sitting there as I'm walking to the cemetery saying, God, this test that we're going through is about obedience. It's about obedience, God. Right? And I immediately thought about the children of Israel in the desert. And I told God, can this be the final test? or is this going to take another 40 years to, in me, you know? I don't want to do this again, right? And again, I'm just being honest with them, right? Because do you think you can lie to them and get away with it? Ask Book of Acts when they lied about the money. So I'm just being real honest with them. I say, God, I don't want to do this again. I really want, and I know that you're not causing us to go through it. You're using that. You use everything for good to lead us into triumph and that. So I'm like, God, I want to go through this, and I want to do it before you in that manner of as a son. And I said, help me not to pull back. Help me not to draw back into my slavery or my servant mindset in this. Father, you're good, and everything that you're doing right now is good. Everything. Everything. If it might not, my soul may not think so, right? But my spirit can get engaged and realize it and go, yep, God's good. I can see God in this. I can see God in it, right? The next verse says, and having been perfected, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So I knew when I read that, I was like, the reason we're here, the reason this test is before us, the reason, and again, it's me. This is, I'm saying you now, but it's me I'm walking around that cemetery, right? The reason I'm here, the reason we're here, God, is because you obeyed your Father and became the author of salvation. But it's salvation to everybody? No. I'd like to think it was. I think for years I thought salvation was for everybody. But according to the scripture, it's salvation to all those who obey him. And that word obey, it's the same word that it is up above. It's for me to come under the scripture. It's for me to make, even in the circumstance, even as tough as it might be, it's for me to go, God, I trust your word and what you're saying greater than the circumstance I'm in. Right? So though the real estate agents are saying, I don't know if we can find that, don't know if you can afford it. You might have to get this. You might have to do that. I had someone tell me, "Oh, you're probably going to have to show them 6 months of finances." I'm like, okay, we can show them that. I said, I'm not sure they'll like it. Don't show anybody anything, right? But it's like it's in that barrage of stuff. I'm going, no, God, it does. What does that matter? What does any of that matter?
That's right.
Right? And I said, and so I'm walking through the cemetery, and I'm, you know, the gardeners now are getting closer. They're in the section I'm in now, so I'm having to work through the volume of the lawnmowers and the blowers and all that. But I'm just like, God, if you're for us, I mean, if you're for me, who can be against me?
Yeah.
Right? Who? What does it matter? What does that really matter? And so I'm now I'm pulling on what Scripture's is saying, not the circumstances.
Yep.
Right? And yes, you know what? The circumstances are real. Right? They're real. We have to leave. Yep. At some point the city will have to leave. Okay? But I'm not relying on the reality, I'm pulling on the truth. Is the truth. There's a truth that trumps all reality. Okay? And that's submitting to the word of God in the circumstance. See, that's what Jesus did. He submitted his soul, right? Though he was God, he gave away every bit of his divinity to become a man. So he had a soul just like you, just like me. And he had to submit it. That scripture says it, right? He had to submit all of his soul in all those tests to come into that place. So why wouldn't he expect that I would have to? Right? He submitted to Father, became the author of salvation. I submit to Jesus, I get a great salvation. And I become a joint heir. See, I always thought I was just going to get everything because Jesus did everything. You don't get to be an heir. You don't get the benefits of the heir without walking like an heir and following after what he's doing. So, I know it's been a long week. Thankfully, Friday I was back here and praying and that. And it was, and I just was kind of pulling it all into place, saying, God, you got this. You got this. Not because of me. You got this. And my job's to listen. Just like a sheep. A sheep just listens, waits for the shepherd to say, go to this field. Go to this place. So, would you pray with me? Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It shows us the next step. It shows us where we're going in darkness and in the midst of the testing, your word. So, Father, I thank you for your word in this body of people, this house of Jubilee, Lord, today, that you would stir up again, like you did for me this week. You would stir up the word of God inside of us. That, Father, we would not be as ones that were walking in the dark expecting for someone else to turn on the light. Father, your lamp is a light. It's a lamp unto our path. So, Father, I thank you. By the power of Holy Spirit, I thank you that this week you, Holy Spirit, would stir us up. Remind us of every word spoken by Jesus, right? Cause it to come alive. Cause us to again, come back under. Father, in every place that I've wandered from your word, Father, I ask you to help me, to help us. Take away the veils so that we again can see Jesus. We again can see you, Father, in your scripture, in our tests, in the trials. Father, when we rely completely and solely on you, our trust is not in men, it's not in our own powers to do, but Father, we lean and trust in you. And our hope is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.